Foreplay presented by BarstoolSports.com. Trent, Frankie Borelli, I am Riggs. It is almost Christmas. I believe we are not going to do an episode next week for Christmas week.
Okay.
We might. We haven't decided yet. We can kind of do whatever the hell we want, which is the beauty of this here program. But we got a big show, as always, to finish up the year. We got Pat Perez, a little bit of a character, a little bit of a bro. We're going to get into it with him on a bunch of the different comments he's made over the years. He loves, he's got kind of a hate-love relationship with social media. So we're going to have some fun with that. We're going to get into a couple headlines. We got a little bit of Tiger news. We got Justin Rose absolutely wiping the floor with people across the planet, which people might not know. And, of course, we've got a bunch of From the Galleries with Frankie Borelli, the pizza maker. First, we got to talk about our friends at Blue Apron. Cooking is fantastic. I have discussed on this here show before that I'm basically cooking illiterate. I don't really know how to cook. Blue Apron is basically the only thing that I actually, it's the only way that I'm capable of cooking a full meal. Otherwise, I'm just not even freaking close. So, my latest favorite ingredient, my roommates and I, also we installed a TV mount that rotates.
Oh.
So the TV now, we used to basically like cooking in our kitchen kind of stunk because you were locked in the kitchen. There's not much going on. We're kind of, you know, we're three single dudes, whatever. So we like to like watch sports, do cool stuff like that. TV now rotates towards the kitchen.
Wow.
So while you're whipping up a nice meal, you can watch a little TV. So recently we were in there. We whipped up the roasted chicken with maple butter, sweet mashed potatoes, collard greens. It was absolutely fantastic. On a big chicken kick in general right now. So when you get to whip up your own, it's maybe the best thing in the world. And it feels, makes someone like me who's just an absolute idiot in the kitchen feel very accomplished. I'm a big fan of the presentation too.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
some garnishes.
Oh my God.
Man. Frankie knows he's a restaurant guy.
I'm a restaurateur.
That's right.
Man, did I used to go crazy on like the chocolate toppings. Like anything. Like I'd make an ice cream sundae look like it, like Da Vinci just made it.
Oh, how good is that?
I mean, like something as simple like penne vodka, I'd take like nice fresh just like basil and just like pop and just like pop it right on top, just like and sprinkle it.
It's just fun. It's more fun.
You do hand motions. You do follow through.
Like the Emeril Lagasse, fucking.
Yeah.
See, I gotta work on that.
You gotta get the follow through.
I'll take a couple videos of me working on the
fingertips. Have to go up.
We're all doing the fingertip motion in the podcast studio. For those of you who don't know, Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door. Can help you cook in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season and designed by the Blue Apron team, in-house culinary team to fit your preferences. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes each week. Customers can pick 2, 3, 4 recipes based on whatever fits your schedule. They send only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. So here's what you do. You are going to get treated as the patrons. You are going to get your first 3 meals, a $30 value with your first order. If you visit blueapron.com/foreplay, you're going to get those first 3 meals free. That is blueapron.com/foreplay, F-O-R-E-P-L-A-Y. Check out this week's menu. Get your $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/foreplay. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Okay, we're going to jump into a couple of very quick headlines here. We got to mention Justin Rose on an absolute tear. It is December, 18th?
Yep.
So nobody's really thinking about it. He won by 8 shots over in Indonesia this week, and he has won, look at this, he's won 3 events, 10 top 10s, and 6 top 5s in his last 10 starts.
It's pretty fucking good.
It's crazy because, you know, we talk about DJ, we talk about Justin Thomas, talk about Jordan Spieth, talk about Tiger coming back and all that. It is amazing that someone like Justin Rose, who lost the Masters in a playoff this past year, won the gold medal last year in the Olympics, and won the U.S. Open in 2013, you don't even really think about him.
The gold medal really goes under the radar.
Big time under the radar.
Like, big
which,
time.
I mean, I kind of, you know.
Like, we talked about on this podcast how we weren't totally into the Olympic golf thing, so maybe that's why it does, because nobody else is into the Olympic golf thing. But, I mean, he still won against a pretty heavy field at the Olympics.
He did, and, you know, it meant a lot to him at the time. I wrote a little bit of a blog today about Rose and his hot streak that he's on. I included a great anecdote in there that I heard when I was at Marion.
Okay.
And the customary move, you know, when a guy wins a U.S. Open at the host course, offers them kind of an honorary membership. You know, it's basically cost them nothing. You're just a member. You won the fucking U.S. Open here. You do whatever you want, blah, blah, blah. The anecdote that they told me was basically Justin Rose went to them immediately after and said, I want to be a member. Let me know how much it costs and who to write the check out to. and basically decided, like, no, I want to become a member of the old school
That's
way.
That's real nice.
I want to do whatever the hell I got. He's, like, beloved at the club. So whenever he comes by with his kids, he's super well-liked. He's chatty. He's very nice with all the members, blah, blah, blah. So I've loved Justin Rose ever since then. But anyway, he's on a sneaky hot streak to finish the year. Another name you got to throw in the mix going into next season. I feel like we're wildly excited about 2018. As we probably should be.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not even, I mean, all those names we just mentioned, I haven't even included, like, Hideki, who's my favorite player, by the way. Haven't included Sergio Garcia, who is the reigning Masters champ. So there's a lot of names next year going in. Rose is on a hot streak and might be the best player on the planet right now. We had a cool story about Tiger last week. Joe LaCava, his caddy, was on, he's on, you know, PGA Tour, XM Radio or something like that, telling a story that he beat Tiger 9 straight times in horse, and Tiger wouldn't talk to him the rest of the day, didn't even invite him over for dinner.
So when you blog this as a story where it's like, this is good for Tiger, this is a good look for Tiger, mm-hmm. yeah, because he's being competitive Tiger.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm much more worried about him losing 9 straight times in a row.
Look, if you're not good at basketball, you're not good at basketball.
So you should stop playing. Stop playing after game 3 or
it's
4.
Great news for the Fusion, though. You don't play 9 games
Correct.
Of basketball.
Correct. Right. Does Tiger a guy that just stops playing, Trent?
I don't know. Maybe. I wish he would stop playing after 3 games because he's so mad he can't lose 3 in a row. To lose 9 in a row, at like 7 and 8, he's got to be like... You got to be like, all right, buddy, let's stop playing.
I purposely didn't put that part in the blog. That, like, who the fuck? How do you lose? I mean, I could play against, like, Michael Jordan. I might not lose 9 straight games.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, pick a shot that you got. And, like,
that's where,
you know.
Of course, that's where your mind goes. Like, Michael Jordan doesn't lose 9 in a row in anything. I don't care if it's a sport he's never played and the other person is way better. He figures out a way to get in the other person's mind, or he, you know, plays better as he goes on. Tiger losing 9 in a row at anything is a problem.
You know,
in my
who
eyes.
Loves this story is those dicks that think, like, oh, golf's a hobby, not a sport.
Oh,
like,
yeah, oh, that's tough.
They love this story.
That, like,
it's like
people argue Tiger's like maybe the greatest athlete of all time.
And
like,
they hate
he loses
it.
9 straight games of horse to his caddy.
Right.
What is that?
Like, he plays golf, sure, but can he play any other sport? It's like, yeah, he's fucking athletic. It's like, no, he can't even hit like a jump shot.
It's
like,
not
in
the direction I thought this conversation was going
to
go.
I wanted to throw that in there because
you know what though, it's scary. It's a scary thought.
I've been avoiding that take. Look, we got to focus on the positive here. We got to focus on the Fusion. You know, you're not out there cranking hoops all day with your boy.
Think
if
about
you've got
the back movement you need for a shot.
Think about the back, Trent.
All right, I'm thinking about it. I'm also thinking about him losing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games in a row.
That's a lot. Like a lot of shots, too, to be, like, way worse than the other guy.
Yeah.
What if the other guy's just, he just is unbelievable at golf?
Cava, or you mean at horse?
I mean, I'm sorry, horse.
Yeah. How do you even, how does Joel Cava not have a bad game in there? Or Tiger?
That's the concern, is that Tiger is so bad at, but it doesn't matter if he's bad at basketball. Who cares? He's still healthy, but losing that many in a row was a red flag for me.
And he's fiery, man. He's not even talking to him for the rest. It's not like your buddy where you shake hands afterwards. He's like, he didn't even text him to come over for dinner. How do you not love that?
After 9, if he didn't talk to him, he shouldn't have talked to him after 2 games. The fact that it's 9, yeah, he's fiery, but he's really, if anybody gets beat 9 times anything, they're going to be mad about it, of course. It's not just Tiger. Sorry.
Trent.
Did you see what Jack said about Tiger?
I did.
Let me read this. The quote says, I'm not interested at all in seeing Tiger play. He says, do I wish Tiger well? Yeah, but I'm not interested in watching him. I've watched him play for over 20-something years. Why would I want to go watch more? I don't want to watch anybody golf. Jack Nicklaus is now, he's like getting a little bit
that
old.
That is like, what is that?
He's
what
little,
does that even mean?
Talking about?
He's getting old and like crusty, I think.
That was a weird, that sounds like a guy who's nervous. That's guy like, he like did a little research on the Fusion and Jack's like, ah, oh, shit. I don't want to watch this. This is going to be devastating.
Yeah, that I didn't take it. I think he doesn't want to watch the devastation that like Tiger's going to leave on the game of golf. Like he's going to dominate. He doesn't want to be there for like how horrible the competition is going to be in 2018. The Tiger's just going to run through the whole entire.
It's such a weird comment. Like I've watched him for 20 years. Why would I want to keep watching? Dude, like, you know, you won the Masters at age 46. People have been watching you for 25 years. What, you think they shouldn't have wanted to watch you because they've seen it before? Like, no, that's the whole point.
I really like the angle that Jack is nervous about Tiger.
Sounded pretty nervous to me.
I don't watch anybody
play golf. Sounds like a guy who puts his glove on.
So I was just going to say, this is a perfect transition into From the Gallery this week. We had a massive discussion last week about putting with your glove on. Frankie and I said it's a big pet peeve of ours. Basically a dusty move. You look like a huge duster if you're putting with your glove on. Right away, the website goes up. We get hit with one of the biggest haymakers in the history of this podcast. People start tagging us. Picture Jack Nicklaus putting with a glove on. Maybe the greatest putter of all time. The greatest career of all time. I'm watching this week. They got the, you know, whatever, P and G, C, whatever, fuck yourself, father, son, challenge
PNC.
On. PNC, PNC. Yeah. Steve Sands, our guy Steve Sands out there announcing. It sounded great. Anyway, that's on. Lee Trevino and Jack Nicklaus are out there, both putting with their glove on the whole time.
Mm.
Everybody's tagging me.
That's
a tough one for
us. This should be a big win for me, but I have it a week later. I didn't have it when we were talking about it at the time. If I had had that, it would have been a real haymaker. If I'd been like, well, Jack Nicklaus did it, so you guys are fucking idiots.
This is what happened with me with my Wayne Gretzky take. I don't know if people are up to speed on that one, but I had like proof of what I was saying the next day.
Right.
Just like you get shit on, everyone calls you an idiot, that you don't know anything. It's like you go home, you like do a little research, and it's like, God damn, if I only had this one of my, like, if you would have told me, it's like, so I'm an idiot for putting with a glove on, like, what about Jack Nicklaus? I would have been like, I gotta go.
I would have like kicked you guys out of the podcast.
Yeah, I would have had to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have, we would have deleted this segment.
So we have it a week later, but it just doesn't have the same effect as if I had
it's gotta feel good.
It doesn't, but it's an important point. I mean, when I saw that picture, I was horrified. I was like, God, like, how do you? So then I started thinking, like, well, you make an analogy. Like, I said to Frankie earlier, I was like, Wayne Gretzky, he went with like the jersey tuck.
Yeah.
He's like famous for the jersey tuck. Now you can't be some schmuck out there in like junior hockey rolling around with the Gretzky tuck, or you're like a loser.
Right.
I don't know if that equates. Like, you can't just be some schmuck on the green, like three jacking every hole, and you've got your glove on.
So, well, it's also because the jersey tuck, it sounds like it would be an homage to what Wayne did. And when I leave my glove on when I'm putting, I'm just an idiot. It's not like I'm like, oh, Jack Nicklaus did this, so I did it. It's that I just didn't take it off, and now I'm up here putting, and oh, shit.
I still don't like the move.
I don't either. It didn't change anything for me.
Like you putt with a glove on, I think you're wearing jeans also when you're golfing.
Yes.
That's just what comes with it. You don't make that face, because no one's tagging you in a picture of Jack Nicklaus with jeans on.
True.
Okay.
I say, if I see a guy on the practice screen putting with his glove on, I'm like, I'm going to dust that guy.
Yes.
I'm going to absolutely toast that guy. There's no way that guy makes a six-footer with
it's
a
like
batch on the line.
The finger, like when you're putting it, like, bunches up. Like, the whole thing's just a mess.
Yeah, your glove's, like, sweat.
I don't know.
There's no finesse to it. There's no finesse to it. It feels wrong.
Yeah, it's just an outdated move too. I feel like, you know, that's the old generation. Nobody in the new generation is out there, with the exception of Lexi Thompson, who matches her glove to like her shoes.
Right.
Which I cannot get over how bad I think that move is. I can't stand the look.
I just think you put on a glove, you're ready to like smash something. Like, I put on gloves, like you put on baseball gloves, and like you feel good. Like, I'm gonna smash this baseball. Like, you're putting, like, you want like the delicacy of your fingertips.
Do you keep your?
I don't know. Jack Nicklaus did it, so
yeah, he's like a rugged man.
Do you keep your glove on when you chip?
It's weird because that is a finesse move too. I may have just I'm like, it depends on where I am. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I do. My chipping varies. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't really have much logic.
If it's just strictly using a sand wedge, like if I'm 80 yards out, I'm obviously using a glove. If I'm like just off the fringe, I'll sometimes take it off, because if I'm using a putting stroke, like a very small stroke.
Yeah, like that, just kind of like straight back, straight through.
I'm taking off my glove. But if I have any sort of backswing, I put the glove on.
Interesting.
I'm a huge grip guy. Need grip.
So. Yeah. Speaking of grip and gloves, I've got a move that I've done for several years now, because I can't stand when my hands get sweaty on the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people can handle it more than others. Like, you know, Freddie Couples famously has played forever without a glove on. I just, like, it just affects my mental state probably more even than my physical grip of the club. And so I always rock a three-glove rotation system.
Wow.
So that every glove is always fresh, basically. Because if it's like a hot day, by the time you get on the second or third hole, your glove's going to be a little wet. And that like wetness between my fingers and the club like drives me insane. Now, a byproduct of this that I've realized is that I have to get new gloves like never. Because
right.
I like...
It's you're cutting it into thirds. Like
for right. And you're giving them time between shots to like air out. So I basically attach them to my bag like via the loop. The handle, whatever you the strap.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't think of the word. It's called strap.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go like, you know, whichever one's at the bottom is the one I grab. And when I'm done, I
you
put it at the top.
You keep up with this?
Every shot.
Wait
a minute.
Wait, how often
what
do
you mean
it?
Every shot?
Like, I rotate gloves.
From the driver to the...
Oh,
you
yeah.
hit a drive.
Yep.
You take your glove off.
Yep.
You wrap it around the... What was the word?
Just
strap?
My strap.
You
my
wrap
strap
on the
my
strap.
Bag. I have three gloves on there at all times.
You get up to your second shot and you have a new glove on.
Correct.
Holy
wow.
smokes.
I thought you were talking you would go a few holes and then you would, you know,
no,
rotate the next one in. That's much different.
That's a little crazy.
A little.
Definitely. That's why, like, I brought it up.
That's, I see. Now
feels
I know,
weird.
Now I know why you're saying it probably affects you more mentally than it does your physical, because it
I
is.
I mean, Riggs, you're using three, on a par five, you're using possibly four different gloves, or three gloves four different times.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
And
so when you have a caddy, are you just constantly, like, if he
so
four caddies.
So I've had issues where, you know, because when they go up, so a lot of times what I'll do is I'll keep one in my back pocket one on, and then if I have to, I could keep two in my back pocket, which feels like a bender move, but, like, I can't be stuck without a glove.
I've golfed with you multiple times, maybe five or six times, and never noticed it.
And when I ride in a cart, I always do the strap it up to the sidebar so that they air out in between shots.
Wow.
I can't, I just like when my gloves are, like, they got to be, like, fresh and dry.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because, yeah, it's a lot of glove movement. That's a lot.
So basically any picture of my bag you might have seen, if you look, there's always at least, you know, two or three gloves on there, depending if I've got, like, one in my pocket or something.
When did you start doing this?
It just happened probably 3 or 4 years ago or something when I started playing a lot.
How long will each glove last you?
It lasts three times as long.
A long time.
Right?
It has
to. No, even more, I think, because when you use a glove every shot, right, that moisture really, like, starts to bear down or starts to wear down the hot spots,
mm-hmm.
like the thumbprint and, like, the middle of your palm and all that. But when you give it that time to air out, it, like, even increases the durability of it. So my gloves, I mean, I've been using the same three gloves, like, all fucking year.
Right.
So beginning of the year, you find your glove that you want and you buy three of them?
Well, the thing is, I always have, like, there's a lot of times there's one that's fresher than
Got
the other
it.
Two.
I didn't
like,
know
I'll
if they all
come in.
I'll
throw one fresh one into the system.
Got it. Yeah. Wow. Man.
That's something.
This is something.
Now, I had a company this year send me, like, 15 gloves.
Okay.
So, I've got a ton of gloves now. I'm fucking glove guy for...
You might die with those gloves.
These gloves might never, because they don't, you know, the ones on my bag have been on my bag since, like, pre-Scotland. I played a ton of golf since then.
It's just such a commitment to change every
But I don't even
hole.
Think about it. I literally don't even think about it. It's part of my routine.
Yeah, I guess
like
so.
I put one on, I grab the new one, put it in my pocket. As I'm walking up or as I'm carting up, I put it on so I'm not wasting anybody's time. And I just strap it in, I'm ready to go.
What's stopping you from just having, like, 15 gloves on there?
Just don't need that many, Trent.
But I mean...
Yeah, like, when did you say that three was,
right.
Was there a trial
period? Here's what you got to realize, that being from St. Louis, the summers in St. Louis, and Trent knows, you're a Midwestern guy.
Oh, yeah.
The summers in the Midwest are... Like, you're walking outside into an oven.
The humidity is no joke.
Humidity is off the charts. And so I very quickly moved to two, you know, 10 years ago or so during college break.
So this is a trial.
Laughing at me
like
I'm a psychopath. Two. And then I quickly learned that in, you know, in the fall and stuff, you can get away with two is not a big deal. But I would say summer when it's hot. I learned, like, two is not enough, because even, like, I'm putting on a wet one, and it's like, I can't fucking hit a
like
golf ball.
Like, have you ever, like, accidentally put the wrong one on, and you're like, ah, fuck, it's just,
yeah,
like,
it happens quite
wet.
A bit, but it's like, if it's really bad, I would notice it, and then I would even retire it and just be like, this one's not going to work. And then I go to a rain glove.
Wow. Used rain gloves
in the summer when it's, like, 90 degrees and hot.
Is there any thought to moving to four gloves? Are we getting there at all?
No, because the rain glove just trumps everything.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The rain glove is like, the rain gloves dominates the whole scene. If it's getting bad where you three's not enough, you get out the rain glove, and that thing, like, is glued to the glove.
All right.
Wow. I mean, this is shocking. I don't truly know how to take this.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anyone else in the world that does this.
I would be surprised.
The four changes on a par five really has me going. Like, you hit a drive, it doesn't go too far, maybe it, like, clips a tree. You hit, like, an iron. You're still not there yet. Your next one's short of the green. Like, you're on your fourth goddamn glove. Like,
it's the first one.
Then I'm back on the
driver.
First glove. I'm back on the first glove.
Right.
I know, but it's just like.
And you got to realize, like,
Hasn't changed.
You watch a guy on tour, they take their glove off after every shot.
It does feel professional to take your glove off after a shot.
Yeah, and you
it
fold
feels
it kind of a little bit. You
feels,
put it in.
And
like
we said last week, the glove hanging out of the back of the pants feels real nice.
It's really nice.
Wow. All right.
If you do this, please let us know. I'm sure you will, but I don't think we're going to get any responses on that.
Next question. We got a guy, Aubrey. He basically goes through this whole thing about how him and his buddies got to play Augusta. They're all really good players. I think they play college golf. They're all, like, around scratch or even a little better. They go, they're like, we're only probably going to get to play Augusta once ever. Do you play the tips, basically, was the question. Knowing that it's going to be a battle. It's going to be brutal. You're not really going to get to play the course, like, the way that the pros or the best players get to play it because it's long as shit, it's tough, it's Augusta, whatever. Or do you play the members' tees? What do you guys think?
There's no way I'm playing the tips. I'm not as good a golfer as you guys, and it sounds like as good as these guys are, and I would not enjoy myself doing that. I would play for the members' tees just to enjoy it, because you don't want Augusta to be a battle, at least in my opinion. I want to enjoy it. I want to be like, oh, I'm in this hole. This is great. I don't want to be frustrated all day. I don't want to play from the tips and be like, this was the worst day ever. I want to at least try to enjoy the day.
Frankie?
For me, like, I would want to say every time I watch the Masters, I hit that same exact shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But as a player, I'd much rather play the members' tees. I mean, I just don't want to shoot 135 at Augusta. And, like, I mean, I'd have to also see, like, the stats on and the yardages and the differences.
It's like 74-50 or something from the tips, and it's like 60. I don't know. I think it's probably 68, 67 or something.
All right. Like, tees. If it's something where it's, like, doable, I'm 1,000% going from the tips, just like I said, because like every time I watch a Masters for the rest of my life, I hit that exact shot.
The thing is,
I can mentally see what they did. Yeah.
No, I agree with you guys. I think that now he went on to say that they had like 30-mile-an-hour winds. The caddies are saying it's the most absurd thing they've ever seen. They all shot like 80, 90, something like that, and they're all like scratch golfers.
Yeah.
So they kind of had a pretty miserable time. He said they got the opportunity to go back out and played the back nine from the members' tees, and they all made, like, each made a birdie or two and enjoyed it way more.
That's awesome.
So, it's tough, right? Because we've all done it. Like, at Bethpage, my buddies and I, like, when we played, we were like, you know, let's play the tips. Like, we was whatever. And we had a great time, but it does make it tougher. And then I think I'm with you guys.
But
I think
like we're not professional golfers.
I think
so
if the tees were really short, right? If the members' tees were like 6,000 yards, you'd be like, well, that's stupid.
Right.
But I think like 67, 68 is plenty for pretty much anybody that's not like a
college.
Now
that we're talking it out, it's like you're still enjoying the golf course the same way. It's just not like we're not professional golfers. That's why we're not playing from the professional tees.
Right. Yeah. And what you said earlier, Frankie, you're like, I want to be able to say I hit those shots. I think you actually have more chance of hitting those shots if you play.
Yeah, because now I'm 150 out.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Like
I actually
on 15, you might like the par five over water. You might have, you know, 210 in or something.
Correct.
Instead of like 290.
Yes, I retract my statement. I would never play from the tips.
Yeah, it's
you just
tough.
Wouldn't have that much fun, and that's you don't want your memory of playing at Augusta to be like that was the worst day of my life. You want it to be like I enjoyed myself and I played from the tees, the member season. It was fine
because
that's what you want.
Like when you're talking about the differences in yardages, like from 68 to 74, it doesn't sound that much, but it makes a world of a difference.
Yeah, even like your mental on the tees,
like I mean, par threes are like a disaster. Like you're turning. I mean, I would feel like most of the yardages would affect me on the par threes the most.
Yeah, I'm thinking at Augusta, the fourth hole is like, it's legit like 245 from the tips.
Yeah, I mean, like, so that's the difference. Like, so maybe it's like 190 from the members. And like, so like, that's the difference between me making like a seven or possibly being able to make a par. And it's like, it ruins your entire day.
Yeah.
Just because I can't reach. What am I going to do? Tee up a 3-wood?
That's why I thought that was a really good question, because everybody wants to say you played the exact same course that the pros play and you try to stack up how you do against them, but it's also like, who the fuck am I? Like, I'm not going to enjoy the round.
Like, and, sure, I'll stack up against a pro, but
I won't do well.
I'm not a pro.
This drives me insane. Like, when I post a picture from any course and it's clearly, like, not the tips, you get all the hardos that come out, like, oh, you're not tipping it out. They literally make golf commercials chirping you for doing that.
It's crazy.
So, tee it forward and enjoy the round. Everybody plays faster. So, there I mean, go. I get it both ways. I thought this was a good question. It was interesting that he said they had the decision, they were given the decision afterwards to, they could either go play the par three course or go play the back nine again. And I was like, that's the easiest dilemma of all time. You go play the back nine again.
You never play. Yeah.
Who cares about the par three course?
I'm
not saying who cares about the Augusta par three
course.
But
I'm
saying compared to the
back nine. I'd die hearing if someone chose to play the par three over any hole. I'd rather play just one hole at Augusta than play the entire par three course.
I agree with that.
Would you? I definitely agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to play the course.
Which hole would it be if you got to play one hole at Augusta?
Oh, jeez.
If you flew all the way down there, first of all, would you fly all the way down there to play one hole?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't even hesitate. Imagine that.
I would too.
Imagine how much pressure there'd be on your shot. I know which one I would play. 13.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I mean,
for me.
Yeah.
I think it's 13. Right?
I mean, amen. You just, you have to.
You're standing right next to 12, like the green. You get to play maybe the most famous par five of the world. You get a chance for birdie, like, potentially, if you don't play like an asshole. Ugh. Frankie's
I would do it for one hole.
Yeah, I would.
You'd fly, yeah.
Which hole would you play?
I'm trying to think. Trent, what about you? Let me, like, really,
I mean,
like, 30,
it's hard
really
to argue with 13. You got to do 13, I think.
I think 13. My second would, what would my second be? My second, people are probably going to shit on me, but probably be the second. I love the second hole. That huge dog leg left downhill par five. That hole is awesome. I've always loved that hole. That was also where we were on Thursday when we watched the Masters. We were at the Masters. We were at Augusta.
Yeah, I was there.
All of the play had gone through already, and we were walking back to the exit while the guys were all in the back nine, and we just walked around the second fairway. Like, we were in the middle of the fairway just walking around.
Oh, yeah.
There was no one around. We, like, had beers in our hand. We were like, we're just on the second fairway, like 80 yards from the green.
What do you think, Frankie?
I'm trying to find something other than 13.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to stall. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the hole in one at 16, but you don't want to play. I don't know if a par three would be the only hole because that's just less shots you get to hit. If you're flying all the way down there, you should play fucking par five.
Oh.
So then you're kind of down to like 2, 8, 13, 15. I think 13's a cooler hole than 15.
Yeah, I thought about maybe 12, but you're right. You want to hit more shots.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, I know. It'd be tough to go all the way down there and just. Yeah, I got an 8-iron in my hand, and I'm hitting one shot. You kind of want to
But it's kind of like, that's kind of badass. You're like, I'm going to take one shot at Augusta, and hopefully I just ace it.
Or imagine you just hit one on the green, two putt, just get out of there.
Like, I was like, 12? Like,
that was great.
You know what? I changed mine. I want 12. I'm playing 12.
Because 12 is...
I can hit one swing with a 9-iron or 8-iron or 7-iron, yeah. Whatever it is. Like, I can do it once. Just see you later.
I'm 100% playing 12.
I may play like... If it's not 12, I think I may play 11, even though it's a long par 4.
Yeah.
Because, like, then you see 12 coming up, and it's still an awesome, like, approach shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we saw the guy come out of the... Was that with you guys when the guy just
came
out?
Yeah, the guy,
came out of the woods.
The magic rules official just appeared
just
out of the woods.
Appeared. He was just like, whoosh. Like, you can't do that. Like, and then he just whooshed back. It's like... So I guess my final answers... I mean, I was going to say 12, but I thought I'd get shit for saying the par 3. I say 11. So 11, 12, 13. Those are the three best.
18 would be fun.
Yeah. I thought about that too. Hitting through that chute would be sweet. 11's nice because if you make a 5, like, that's kind of what you're supposed to make.
Right.
If you make a 4, you're like a hero.
I love those hills right in front of 11 too, where it's like, we always say when you're seeing in person, they're like, they're taller than you are.
Those mounds, the mounds like 10 yards short and right of the 11 green are preposterous.
I mean, you can't see
massive.
The pin.
You can't believe how... We legit standing next to them couldn't see the green.
Yeah.
We couldn't see the green. That's how big they are. You don't realize that on TV. You think it's just like one steady downhill slope.
Yeah.
There's these giant mountains just in the middle of the fairway. It's crazy.
They're huge.
All right, next one. Which do you prefer golfing in? 100 degrees where you're dripping sweat or sub 40 degrees and you can barely feel your hands?
100 degrees. I'm a bad grip guy. I mean, we're talking to the grip master here. Like, you are the grip master. You're the grip king.
Mm-hmm. Three glove king.
I can't play in, like, I'm like bad with, like, I don't know if I have like that problem where like your fingers and your toes get cold. You don't get like blood to your fingers. What's that like?
Robbie has that. What's it?
Low circulation?
Yeah,
no,
a
it's
name
called
for
something
it.
Like Raynard's or something.
Raynard's or something like that.
Raynard's, something like
that? Yes. Yeah. So it's like,
you know what that is, Brendan? Raynard's.
Look it up right now.
Raynard's.
I think that's it. I just get like super cold.
Yeah,
like, really easily.
Raynard's. Raynouds.
Raynard's. Whatever the fuck
Roads.
It is.
A condition in which some area of the body feel numb and cool in certain circumstances.
Yeah, so when I
see you, Frankie.
So I have like a mild condition of that. I don't know if you can have a mild, but I've diagnosed myself with it. My fingers get super cold, my feet get cold, and like it's just miserable. I can't do anything in the
Interesting.
Cold.
Interesting. Robbie's exactly like that.
Yeah, like I try and go snowboarding, and I'm just like, I need like, it's like crazy.
When we made Robbie go film us in Times Square during the blizzard earlier this year, he was like, no joke, like, I might have to go to the hospital after this. Like,
yeah, I'm not that bad.
He's like, my hands are going to fall off.
So,
he said that before we went outside. He's like, just warning you guys. Like, my hands are going to turn blue and fall off.
It was like
3
a.m. Like, buddy, we're going to be in Time Magazine for this to get out there.
He's like, yeah, my hands are going to turn blue and fall off.
Yeah, I mean, mine are not that bad, but I definitely have something going on. So it's like if I'm playing in 20-degree weather, which I have in Colorado before, it was a couple years ago with my girlfriend's family out in Colorado. Boy, was it cold. It was like, we tried to be heroes. We tried to play in like November, and it was like, because we just love playing out there.
Yeah.
Playing at a home course at the cousin's house, and I mean, we showed up to this golf course and it was windy, and the people said, we're not going to charge you. Like, cause like they're like, we can't believe like anyone showed up
really?
Today. Yeah. So we ended up like getting out for free, played on the first hole. And just to make the story fast, I started on the first tee fine, ended up on the third hole. I was wearing, golf, my head covers on my hands as I walked up to my, because we weren't prepared for it to be that cold. Yeah. The wind came in. So I would never, ever, ever choose cold over hot.
Yeah, I would choose hot. I think I was going to choose cold, but I hate being cold so much. And also, 100 degrees, get a bunch of cold beer out there. I don't mind getting a little sunburn, and it's way better.
Can you take a cart?
Yeah, you get to walk up. Get to show up to the course, choose whichever you
want. Cart and 100 degrees, yeah. It's fucking fine.
Cold beer, a little burn on top, no big deal.
I hate being hot, love being cold. This is cold for me all day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can't stand being hot.
Oh, yeah. Your gloves get all wet.
Gloves get all
sticky.
Wet. You're just hot.
I mean, how many
sweaty.
Gloves do you need on a 100 degree day?
Think about
day?
Me,
my
too,
God.
How irritated I get on a hot day.
Ugh.
No, thank you. I hate being hot.
And you shank one, you're like, it's fucking 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's fucking miserable. Let's do it out here.
It's like, I'm fucking sweating all over the place.
What are we doing? Let's go to a pool or something. Yeah. Jesus. Hate being hot. Can't stand it.
I don't want
All right. Now we're going to do a little. This one's been kind of percolating for a while. What is the best golf game?
Yes.
I have a definitive answer as well. I imagine we're going to all have the same game, just different years.
No, I think we're going to have the same year. I think it's that obvious.
I'm ready to fight for my year. So
wow. So let's rule out. We're all narrowing it down to the Tiger Woods video game.
Yeah, I mean, what
everybody is.
Rory McIlroy's game sucks.
The Rory game stinks.
It's the worst game ever. I think they made it in like a week.
It is the most disappointing game ever. It has the worst course list of any golf game to ever be created.
I
want to
throw up just thinking about the game because I waited for it to come out. I watched trailers. Yep. I watched like behind the scenes bullshit.
Yeah, Rory was marketing the shit out of it.
Oh
too.
My God!
I remember being bitter when that happened. Although I love Rory as much as almost anybody, but it felt like he took Tiger's game and that was it. And I was very mad at him.
Tough
for a while.
To take his game and deliver a stinker.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It is so bad that we have it on Xbox One in my apartment, and we have. We bought an old 360 and then we had the games in like our old CD cases. Somebody had a couple of the games. So we've rehashed them. People have probably seen me tweeting about it the last couple of months. Bought a 360 and so we could play the old Tiger games. I think we're all going to be, is it the Masters Edition?
No.
Wow. So my favorite.
I'm looking at Frankie.
I know. What the fuck are you going to say?
What the fuck are you going to say?
You want me to say it? Oh, no. Let him go. Hold on, did my mic just get like turn off? Am I good?
I think producer Brendan's just messing with the levels, but I think we should be good.
Okay, good.
He's tracking them. It looks like he's tracking them.
All right.
This is tricky for me because
it's gonna get emotional.
Well, so the 2012 version, which was the original Masters version, I legitimately went to the store that morning, stayed home that day. It was like a Tuesday or something. I was like, I'm not like going to work that day. Fuck that. Got the game, bought the game, went straight back home and played Augusta for the first time and played it all day long. I doubled 18. I blogged about this before. I doubled 18. He shoots 74. Was devastated.
Wow.
Hit it under the trees on the right, tried to cut the corner.
Brutal.
But anyway, so I have a very nostalgic memory from that game, playing Augusta the first time. But that game has caddy mode, which is the worst thing ever. So it takes the game down a
little
bit.
What was the caddy mode?
The caddy mode was it would just like appear and it would be like 96% flag and
it just showed you
had to pull the thing straight back, straight through 96% and it would just like go in the hole.
That's right.
It was like green, yellow, red if it was like very confident.
That's right.
It was complete dog shit.
That's right.
So I'm not let's get through it again. That's how I'm starting.
Masters Edition?
Frankie?
Are you giving me the option?
Well, I was thinking what we could do is we have Riggs count to three, and then we each say it at the same time and see where we're at. Because I wonder if we're going to be the same year.
It has to be, because this is without a doubt the best time.
So we'll say 2000, whatever.
Okay.
Will you count to three?
Three, two, one.
2004.
Oh!
Wow!
Wow!
2007 is the best Tiger.
Incorrect, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I wrote down in my journal why.
I don't need to write down. No, I don't. I know why.
No, I just had to remind myself how good it was because it's like it's that good. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2004 was the first time that they introduced like the licensed equipment. So you went from like these very generic like clubs to like, I can use a Pro V1 golf ball. I can use a Ping driver. I can use whatever. I used to like specifically look for my clubs that I had and I'd use them. So my creative player was awesome, right? Number two, they introduced John Daly for the first time.
Okay.
Who doesn't want to play with John Daly in a Tiger Woods
That was
game?
Huge with his huge way past parallel
huge
swing.
Oh, it's big time. Big time on the game.
They did a great job mimicking his swing in the game. Yeah. It was awesome.
The other thing they introduced, this is all introductions. The first time that these things have ever come into the game.
Did you just know this off your brain or did you look it up?
I just
try to remind yourself.
I remembered the John Daly thing. And to be honest, I had to remind myself how good this was. Because I knew this was the best game I've ever played. The other addition is that they added real-time events to the calendar. So, like, you're actually able to play the real tournaments. So, if you were a creative player...
But you couldn't play Augusta. They just called it, like, the Spring Invitational.
The
Spring Major or whatever they call
it. But, like, think about how good this game had to be for, like, people to be... Like, this was the first time they've ever done it. And then you had to wait until 2012 just to add another thing to that calendar. That just shows how big the calendar was. You understand what I'm saying?
That's a good game. I don't disagree. It's a good game.
And this is the part that I really looked up. They said that they perfected the analog swing in that year. It was like people were going nuts at how good the swing was. It was fluid.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, I just don't know how you can hear those introductions and how good these things came in and like say that another year is better.
Yeah, I just don't give a shit. Augusta trumps all that. Playing Augusta was... We just talked about what playing Augusta... You would fly all the way down there to play...
Here's playing
you
that.
You would fly all the way down there to play one hole in real life, and now for the first time ever you got to actually play the course on the video game? Ugh. It was unlike anything. How green it was. They hit you with a Masters scoorboard, the leaderboard, all yellow
Masters
up against the green.
Masters leaderboard is no chance.
Oh, it's so good. You
That's
see your name bad. Up there?
Do they play
Riggs,
the music? Do they play Masters music on
Oh,
it?
Of course they do.
Oh, Jesus. Doo-doo-doo. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear 2000.
Well, I don't have all the features like you do, but I know that the beef with some of the earlier ones, 2004, 2007, is that it's a little too easy, or it can be.
Yep.
Like, putting can be too easy. But there is a point where it gets to, it was like 2010 or 2011, where the game gets almost too hard, and the sticks become too sensitive when you're with the backswing. I don't need all that in my life. 2007, it's like the perfect year where it's not too easy, it's not too hard. I don't know. I don't know the features they added. I just know that that is the best game that I have ever played.
2004 was such a big moment. Like, I remember, like, I was 11 years old. I remember seeing, like, because I loved Tiger Woods games. Like, I was, like, an avid little golfer fan, and I was, like, I was a huge gamer. And, like, I remember when they, like, when you look up, like, you type in on the internet, like, new Tiger Woods game features. And I remember seeing this list of, like, we are remaking this game so well that, like, we are making golf on video games real. Like, you're going to be able to use a Titleist putter. You're going to be able to use
Nike
irons.
I mean,
Nike
that was
irons.
Huge. Don't get me wrong. Like, going from the EA Sports golf ball to the Pro V
was
like,
oh my God,
what have I been doing for the last 10 years in this
game? Like, it was such a revolutionary year.
Yeah, you're right. I do remember fitting my irons, too. I basically, and then when they had, like, you had to get really good to unlock the Nikes, because that's what Tiger used, and they had the swoosh on them. RIP to all those clubs and all that, but and obviously those clubs are kind of dog shit in most people's mind. But yeah, in the game, getting the swoosh on your
it's crazy
on your clubs was awesome. And they like the Nike ones obviously hit the ball like a million miles further than everybody else's.
Now I could be stupid, but like, when is like there a new game? Like, come is there?
I've looked and they like not really.
Is it Rory again? Is he off?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. It's kind of it's one of the saddest things
because they just
going that they. So what me and the roommates do now is because we you know the game once you play it a lot the game does become just too easy, and it's like everybody just hits it really tight. So what we've been doing is we've been playing with the chicks in the game. We've been playing with Natalie Gulbis and Paula Kramer because they hit it about the same distance that we hit it in real life in the video game.
Yeah.
And then we turn the winds on gale force winds.
That's what I was going to say. Now when it gets too old for us, we just turn up everything.
Yeah.
Gale force winds,
correct.
Everything.
So then we go play the men's tees, like the PGA Tour tees and all these courses. Like we play Augusta. And it's like there's some holes that fits into the wind. You got driver wedge into like a par four. It's insane. It's so fun though. It's like it's legit like we're playing. I mean, on the fourth hole at Augusta, you're legit hitting driver. Like it's 245 driver. There's times you hit it like you're 70 yards short of the green on the par three. Like, I just ripped the driver. Like, I roasted that driver.
That's when you know you really mastered a game is when you have to, like, think of little things to make it that much harder. Gale force winds, hard pin placements, the whole deal, playing with the chick golfers.
This is where it all came from when we played Bethpage and we played the tips. and we were like, I want to play it again on the video game. We were so hungry because we loved the Black Horse right. so much that we were like, how can we make this close to like reality? Like, let's play with the chicks. And, you know, their driving distance is like 42 on the game or something, right? Like,
yeah.
Like Rory's will be like 96. Theirs is 42. They don't hit it anywhere.
Right.
So it's
I do want to give a quick shout out to Mario Golf. That game was okay.
I never got into Mario Golf.
I got really into Mario Tennis. That's one of the best games ever.
Mm.
But, yeah, producer Brendan agrees with me on that.
Well, I'm a big Mario Baseball guy.
Okay. So Mario Golf was okay. Wasn't as good. Tiger reigns supreme, and Rory's game stinks.
And I just tried to look it up. I don't think anything's coming out. I think Rory may have just destroyed it,
like,
all
ruined
hopes.
The whole franchise.
Yeah, because like now it's like, look how bad this was, everyone hated it, why are we going to put more money into
it? I wouldn't mind if they like went dormant for a few years and then revamped
Tiger
it as just
back.
Maybe Tiger or just PGA Tour Golf, you just do it that way.
Yeah. It was just called Tiger Comeback, EA, like
Tiger's back, and then like they just like underlined back.
Oh, that would be, I'd buy it. Could charge me $200 for that game.
Are you being ugly there? Are you talking about his back or being
well,
back?
Well, I just think that could go either way.
It could.
Man, it's you start the regular season, he just gets injured in like February. Yeah,
you
bad.
Start the game and you're doing rehab with him. Like, you're just
well, you just don't know. Like, and like and like there's a meter on the right that just shows like fusion status. And like if you like have too much of it, like maybe he has like a crazy shot in like a bunker and like it's strenuous and then like the fusion status
like,
goes down.
You like start like you're like, oh, I'm gonna start my career with Tiger, and the first event is like you're trying to like drive home shit faced from like the bar.
Yeah.
trying to back
Wait,
out
what,
on Thanksgiving.
What freaking game was it? Was it the last Masters Edition? Was it the last Tiger Woods ever made where you could play as Tiger Woods as like a little kid?
That was like
that was
2013.
That's number two for me. That was fucking
game was
awesome. Wait a minute,
game was
you're
awesome.
Making a
I don't know. Let me tell you this. Once I found Tiger Woods 2007, I never did
Tiger,
anything else ever again.
I just called you Tiger, which is like a huge compliment.
Thank you very much.
Trent,
I appreciate that.
You can
you
play,
call me Tiger, please.
No, Trent, you can play as Tiger Woods throughout his whole entire life. So like it's little Tiger, it's that little Eldrick.
Like you're putting on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes.
Yes.
No. Exactly. You literally put on the. You
yeah,
literally,
and Trent, you're chipping into like a little miniature blow up pool in your backyard.
In his backyard, mm-hmm. in like
what?
Yeah,
Jupiter.
It's like the first stage to get through.
He
you
literally
like
putts
it.
On the show.
Yeah. I did not. I was a joke.
Or am I going
no,
crazy?
Serious.
I think you actually
dead
do put
serious.
On the show.
I think you do. And then like you're
wow.
like you're like 12
you're
year old Tiger, and you're roasting people at junior golf.
Yes, and
it's
you're
great.
Playing tournaments, and it's got like a little like hazy like filter
yeah,
on
and
the
then
screen.
The 2014 is the one. Then when they bring the legends in. You could play like Augusta in like 1933 and stuff, or 1934.
Hey, man. Yeah, I think 2013 may be above 2004.
That sounds...
I know that 2004 like holds a special place in my heart because I love like I love reality of things. Like, I'm like a huge, like, I'm a huge features guy. Like, MLB The Show, I
love MLB
I, like,
The Show.
I watch when that shit comes out. Like, I'm like, what
little... Yeah, like trying to win the majors with Tiger is awesome.
Like, I just love... Yeah, so like anything that's realistic is I'm like all in. That 2013, man, like playing with Tiger Woods and like junior golf is like the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Well, and they need to come out with a new one because they need the next generation. Like, they need a game that has Spieth and Ricky and DJ. And
I would imagine, like, if you pretty much always follow the money with everything, I would imagine when the Rory one came out, it just didn't do anywhere near the sales that Tiger did. So they were like, we're not making any more of these games. All right, we got to move on. Next one, this was just a really funny thing that a guy sent in. We could talk about it if we'd like to. It was from Ryan. He said, buddy of mine from work that I golf with, in his mid-20s, pretty in shape, claims he's a single-digit handicap golfer, but plays two tees up from the tips when everyone else plays the tips and doesn't give us strokes. Thoughts on his bananas move of him basically playing from the senior tees?
Outrageous. I mean, you just can't do it.
This is such an...
Do we have a name? Wait, did you say a name on him?
This like, guy, the guy that submitted it was Ryan, but I don't know
like
what
the
Ryan's
buddy needs.
Name
I mean,
is.
Like, I need to know this guy's name. Like, if it's like, I mean, like, it's like sounds like a Brad. Like, Brad cannot be playing
just
up there.
Yeah, this just is like, tough. Like, when you can't just play different tees than your buddy, especially when you're like, this guy claims his single digit, then he's probably around the same as the other guys. You can't be playing the other tees. That's or two tees up, That's a crazy move.
Like, how would you ever want to look like that? Like, so it's like everyone just leaves. Like it's like you have something wrong with you.
It's like, yeah, it's like make a wish.
Yeah, it's like, all right, go. Like,
you're standing up there. You got to wait for all three of those guys to tee off from back there, and then you waltz out there in front.
How embarrassing of a moment for a man is that?
And he does it all around the whole time. He's got to do that multiple, many times.
And, like, he's got to know that, like, when they split ways, like, they're all just talking about him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as they're walking up the tee, it's like, this fucking guy is such a loser. Like, look at him up there just fucking standing there waiting for us to hit shots. Like be better.
Have to be.
If you can't handle it, you're not as good of a golfer. So it's like,
but that's the you're not as good of a golfer. That's the reason why you're playing at the top, the front tees. So just be that same not as good golfer from the back tees, right. So that you're not looking like
you
an idiot.
Play to match it, buddy. It's a weird move. So I just wanted to read that because I thought that was a crazy move. The last thing that I'm going to put on here, then we're done for the day. I just got to – this guy, Alex, sends in this long thing. And typically from the galleries, for the record, if you're going to submit them, the shorter the better because my attention span's not great. I'm scouring through these things. I don't have time to read like a 10-minute post. But this guy's a guy into it. I can't read the whole thing because it would take hours. But the gist is this guy Alex, sends in this thing about his uncle. He's got a 62-year-old uncle. Okay. His uncle is – he started like his own insurance company or something a while back. Gotten to the point now, you know, he's got his life set up. Is pretty damn good. He has the 3 o'clock tee time every day at his local club. He's a good player. He's like a zero or a one, the guy says. So this guy's uncle, he's playing at a member guest relatively recently, playing with this guy who claims to be like a college coach at like a local college golf team. And the guy says, like, hey, by the way, do you have like any eligibility left? Like kind of laughing. Bottom line, to kind of cut it all short, this guy only did 2 years of college, this guy's uncle. He has 2 more years of eligibility left. 62-year-old
Stop.
Uncle is a upcoming junior on the golf
shit.
Team. On the golf team. Yeah.
That's like a Disney movie.
Unbelievable story. I mean, I went through being like, is this guy fucking with me? I Googled it to be like, is this like a common thing where people I don't know if it's true or not. It's not, like this guy's story was very legitimate. 62-year-old uncle is now a junior on the college golf team. And he's
I mean, if this is true, get this guy on the show. So get this 62-year-old uncle on
old balls. Like, yes. We gotta call him old balls.
Old balls.
He said that he's talking, you know, he calls him to talk to him like how's college going and all that, and he said
like, oh, the guys, I just moved in. They're all being really nice. But I really miss home.
They go into the workouts, and all like the normal kids on the team, like they rotate each day who gets to control the music. And all the normal kids on the team putting on like rap and like pop music. He puts on the Eagles every time.
Yes.
This sounds so made up, but yeah. It's definitely true.
I read it, and I was like, you know, I don't know. It
doesn't
might be
say
made
what
up.
School. It doesn't say where.
It did. It was like some little.
It's like a Disney movie.
NAIA is the is like the league. The
oh yeah,
college.
That's
so that's right. So yeah. I mean, that's the, you know, that's kind of all I know. I don't think he goes. Yeah, I'm
that
trying
is,
to look. Oh,
is.
Hold on. Bellevue University.
Sounds like a retirement home.
B E L L E V U E University.
Where I mean,
it's in. Looks like it's in Nebraska.
And apparently this guy is like, they told him he's like the oldest college athlete.
Ever.
Like, ever.
Imagine being a guy that like a kid that didn't make the team because old balls just came back like 42 years later.
Out. Imagine that.
I'm Googling everything I can find and there's nothing. I wonder.
That's what I said. I Googled it.
Like this guy should be on Good Morning America.
Right. This is the type of story that Good Morning America loves. They got to have this or we got to have him on the show or something.
Yeah. So I was just getting pizza before we started the show and I was going through some from the galleries. I laughed out loud when I was like, where is this going? And then I started to piece it together in my brain. I was like, this fucking guy is going to play on the college golf team. She said that. I guess the guy's wife keeps telling, or he keeps telling his wife, she's lucky she's going to get some from a junior in college tonight.
Hell this yeah. This can't be real. I need this guy to reach back out to us and give us more details.
I mean, I had to read it. Again, I prefaced it. Who knows? It might not be true.
I want it to be real.
Me too.
I'm going to go to sleep tonight dreaming that it's real.
Unbelievable laugh. If you've got any more from the galleries, send them to us, foreplay@barstoolsports.com. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Shout out to all the golfers in Florida. I'm going to be down there Christmas week.
Frankie's going to be down there. How long are you going
to
be down there?
I'm going to be down there from December 26th to December.
Is this him?
I don't know. I found a picture. That might be a coach, but that's Bellevue University golf page, and there's just an old dude in a golf, a matching golf. Like, it looks like a Portnoy jumpsuit, but for the golf team, and there's just an old guy right there on the side.
I don't know if this is him. It says 2014, but... anyway, we'll try to validate this. This is
We need more information on
it's
that.
It's too good.
Are you and your pops going to Florida? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm just going down
where are you going to be, Frankie?
What?
Where are you going to be?
I'm in the Pompano Beach area, Fort Lauderdale.
So it's like,
I mean,
just a
people
bit
might
north
have to try to get Frankie Borelli out, play a little golf with Pizza Maker.
I think you like to call it like I'm playing a muni, right? Is that like,
yep,
that's a little term you like
that's
to use?
That's right.
Yep. So I'm playing a little
municipal track,
a little Greg Norman shindig. Yeah, it's like Pompano Beach Golf Club. It's actually really nice.
Okay.
It's like right by our condo.
I'm going to be skiing. I'm going to be in Vail.
Okay. Beaver I'll Creek. Be doing the opposite.
Yep. Very different.
So I'm looking to golf like two or three times. So if anyone has any things available,
I would love to see Frankie take down a couple platrons out there.
That'd be nice.
Hook up our guy Frankie down in Florida.
Anybody got where are you going, Trent? Any home?
I'll be in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's gonna be fun.
You've been home a decent amount this year.
Yeah, I had a couple weddings. I didn't go home for Thanksgiving, but yeah, so it'll be good to see the folks.
Yeah, I'm going home for 4 days. I'm playing a couple rounds of golf in the chilly, which is what I prefer. Chilly weather with my boys, and going skiing with my old man. And I believe my mom and my sister are joining for a couple of days. So it'll be a little family trip.
Cool. Hell yeah.
It's great. Anybody got anything else? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Oh, by the way, the video that the picture that Foreplay put up of that sand wedge with like divots in it that everyone's been tagging me as my dad's. I've been looking to buy that for him for Christmas ever since I saw it, and it's not on the internet.
Oh, that one, that's absurd, like vertical grooves or whatever.
Yeah,
the hell it was.
So it's just like the one that just like cuts through the sand. Yeah. It's like the most like illegal golf club of all time.
Yep.
I looked for it. I somehow like tracked it back to the original poster, and it's from Japan. And like I looked online and I found a link to an eBay post, and it was once sold on eBay once. Like this is like just a custom golf club in Japan by this company called Funjoy.
That thing is amazing. That club is amazing.
It was born to be in my dad's hands. Like he needs to disrespect the game of golf.
Tearing up
club.
If you handed that to him for Christmas.
He would be crying.
How did you find this song?
I told him that people were like tagging me in it, and he started tearing up because he's like, first he was like kind of weirded out that like people just know him as the guy who disrespects golf. But I'm like, Dad, you literally like move tee boxes for people behind, like when they're like assholes behind. Like you just disrespect the game of golf like you wouldn't believe.
And he's like,
and you use the spin doctor.
Does he agree or is he like, no, I don't.
He just laughs it off and just like walks away. I'm like, you have to address this at some point. Like you do disrespect the game of golf. Like you do.
I love that he just ignores it.
He gives people.
Perfect.
He just does everything. He gives people like gimmies, like from like 35 feet away. Just like take it up. Like take a five. Like you just can't do this stuff. So I mean, yeah, that's just the way he plays. It's fucking hilarious.
Mr. Pizza Maker's great.
We all have to play together with him.
That'll be a video. We're doing that for sure.
Yeah, the spin doctor. Like everything.
He just gives us
lessons. We should almost do the video and not let him like know that we're going to be pointing out every time he uses it and just like see his reaction as to like how
do you
he
think
tries
he'll
to,
try
hide,
to
it.
Hide it from us.
He does try and hide it. When he goes on the green, he puts it face down. It's
he won't let anybody else pick it up.
No.
It's amazing. We got to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we got our interview with the always candid Pat Perez.
Enjoy.
Now we are joined by Pat Perez, 2017 CIMB Classic winner, up to 19th in the official world golf rankings. Pat, thanks for hopping on, man. It's December 18th, not necessarily golf season, so what are you up to, man?
Oh, just a lot of remodeling on the house. Bought a new house and, just trying to get that thing going. It's not much of an off season here. We just played the Shark Shootout last 2 weeks ago, and we'll leave for Maui in 2 weeks. So, unfortunately, won't be a lot of downtime for me until probably after the Masters, unfortunately. But, it's going to be busy after being gone in 2016. I don't really bitch about being busy now.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you were sidelined for most of the year. You came back this year, had a hell of a season. I want to get in a little bit into, the win. A couple months back in October, you kind of talked a little bit about it. You had some great comments after the win, but, you had said, I just kind of came off my off season. Talk a little bit about, how you were feeling going into that week and what you were doing in the off season to get ready for that week.
For CIMB, not too much. I just got done with the Tour Championship, and I was leaving for 2 weeks. I was leaving in 2 weeks for Malaysia, so I was trying to get some rest. And, it's hotter than hell in here in Phoenix, so I didn't really hit any balls. And, I was just kind of – really, I was just trying to get, like, a nice start or just a start. I was going to 3 guaranteed events and just going to try and get some points and, get a nice start and maybe make some Christmas money and that kind of stuff. And, I wound up winning and finishing fifth after that. It was really unexpected. I wasn't – I didn't really prepare enough to play that well. But, you know, maybe that might be my secret from now on. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think you said something along the lines of, I didn't really do anything. I watched the President's Cup. I drank a lot that week, ate a lot, and hit balls. Planned to hit balls on Friday last week, once for a couple hours. Instead, we just kind of drank and played some golf. Does that sound like your usual preparation?
Yeah, it was for that week. You know, getting ready for Maui now, I'm actually doing a little more serious. I'm actually, you know, riding the bike a little bit. I've been such a slob the last 3 months. It's just been embarrassing. Then we were in Cabo last week. I played with Joe Buck down as a super guest, and you know, I drank and ate enough for everybody there. So I figured I got to get here and do a little bit of work, and you know, I'm gonna put a little work in for the next couple of weeks and get ready for Maui, and you know, try to get going. Because I got Maui, and I come back for a few days, and I go to Singapore and Dubai, and then you know, then I got Cabo, L.A., and from Mexico City. And Bay Hill, so you know it's going to be busy, but you know I'm going to try to give a little more effort. I mean, I'm already number two on the FedEx, so I'd like to kind of hover around that number, or stay around, you know, the top all year. So I figure I might as well put some work in since everybody else is.
How's Joe Buck's game out there?
He wasn't that great. he actually is pretty good. I mean, he's my boy, but he actually is pretty good. He just didn't play that well. I think the alcohol kind of got to him. So, but we definitely had the most fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, alcohol can affect people different ways out there. Some guys get better, yours truly, and some guys get way worse.
Yes, I get worse. So on the second day of the deal, I hadn't had a drink yet because I was so hungover. And then I shot 30 on the front. And then I started drinking, we started getting the shots again and all this other stuff. Then I basically quit. I was basically done by the 16th hole, so... I'm not good with booze because I lose interest real fast. I don't like the way I feel when I drink when I play. So usually I'll just, if I'm drinking, I just kind of won't play anymore. And that's kind of how that goes. But there are, I do have friends that, I mean, as soon as they have like their third vodka, they're unstoppable.
It is. It's kind of it's a little bit of a bell curve though, because you get really good and then it's like, you know, beer pong or something where you get a little too shit faced and then those guys hit a wall and are pretty terrible.
Exactly. Kind of like me, yeah.
I'm a little nervous that you're riding the bike and all that, because you did say after CIMB that you're not going to change anything, you're still not going to work out, all that. Now you're out there riding the bike.
That's not really working out, though. I mean, working out is like lifting weights, these guys with their weights, and, you know, pushing bench press and all this stuff. I mean, I'm just really riding the bike and watching Stephen A. Smith in the morning. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. I get a little nervous. We like to protect that kind of that's sacred out there.
I'm not getting. No, I'm not getting crazy. Believe me.
We're not going to see Pat Perez with a six pack anytime soon.
Oh, no. No. Because my diet is so shitty that it'll never happen. I mean, I'm the guy that goes to the gym for an hour, sweats his ass off, and then goes to get Mexican food with three tacos and a side of rolled tacos. I mean, that's that kind of guy. So I'm burning 600 calories, and all of a sudden I'm eating 4,000 right after that. So, no, there's none of that. You won't see a six. The only six pack I've ever seen is my hand. That's it.
I was going to say, you're not shedding anything out there. You're just trying to maintain, basically. You try to, like, work all that off so you can put it back on.
Yeah, I fast and I work out to stay overweight. That's my goal. What I do.
So, you know, we talked to you. This is kind of your comeback year. You had a hell of a year. You just talked a little bit about your schedule going into next season. What are Pat Perez's goals for 2018? Because, you know, you got inside the top 20 in the world rankings this year. You got yourself a win. What are your goals next year?
I don't really have goals. I mean, my goal always is to, you know, play as well as I can every week. You know, I guess, you know, if you look at long-term, but like, kind of life goals, you know, to win a major would be amazing. I mean, it's so hard to do, though. I mean, there's only four of them. There's so many great players. But obviously that would be like cherry on top. Ryder Cup would be amazing, even though I don't have any points yet because they don't do points until who knows when. So my win and my finish place don't mean anything. So I don't know. Those two would be really cool. I'd like to win again. I think my game's in a good spot. I think I kind of know what's going on right now. I'd like to win another tournament. You know, something big. You know, there's a lot of top players there. That would be kind of cool. And you know, basically just kind of continue on my, just kind of continue the way I am would be nice. You know, obviously try to get better every day. I learn something all the time. I learn, you know, new things about my game and myself and all this other stuff. But, you know, to get top 10 in the world would be amazing. I mean, I never, you know, not that I never thought I'd be top 20 in the world at any point, but it was, I guess I thought it was going to happen a lot earlier in life. I thought it would happen like before I turned 30, not after I turned 40. So, you know, it'd be kind of cool to stay in that kind of position and maybe move up. I mean, there's so many good players these days. I mean, it's just amazing. All the good guys, you know, all the good players out there. But, you know, I think I can play with them. And I think I can, you know, I can always improve, that's for sure.
So what are we working on right now? You know, you mentioned you're trying to, you know, you want to be ready for Maui. I follow you on Instagram. You post a good amount of down the line views of your action and all that. When you're going out to the range nowadays, you know, you got another couple of weeks to get ready. What are you out there working on, grinding on, trying to improve on going into next year?
Well, it kind of happened the last like 9 holes at Mexico this year. I got tired of hitting this weak fade, and I was afraid to release it. And I just finally got to the point where I said, I'm just going to release it. So I started releasing them, and I'm getting more distance out of it, but I now know where the bottom is. I don't, you know, I'm getting more speed through the ball, and I feel like I've got more control over it. And that's just kind of what I've been working on. I am a little more right, and I turn it down hard, and it actually will draw a little bit. So that's something I've always fought with, this weak-ass fade that I hate. It drives me crazy. And now I've kind of gotten away from it. I've added some more ball speed, and you know, I've just been doing that. And I always work on my short game because, you know, my short game has helped me all the way through my career. And it's you know, when I putt well and chip well, I have a great week. So I always know that. And, you know, I have to; those things have to be constant for me to play well. I'm never going to hit like as far as Dustin or Rory or any of these guys. It's never going to happen. But you know I can putt as well as them on any given day. And if you look at Spieth, you know, everybody thinks Spieth is short, which he isn't. But, you know, he's not one of the long guys you talk about. But his putter is deadly. The same way Tiger was for 10 years, his putter was deadly. I mean, he hit it the farthest at that time, but he hit it kind of crooked. But his iron game was incredible, and his short game was just unmatched. And that's why he was so dominant. And people don't talk about, you know, the putting enough. I mean, the putting is basically half your shot. And for some reason, there's not enough emphasis on it, and I realize it because I know the short game can get you out of a lot of situations. It can really carry you through a round. It can make a round, or it can carry you around.
You, so
that's kind of what I do. That's all I'm working on.
You get the draw going. That sounds like somebody that's getting ready for a little Augusta National.
Yeah, that last year I knew I didn't have the shot, even though I finished 18th, there was some shots out there that killed me that I didn't have. And, you know, you got to have that draw. I need to draw, you know, well, actually, you can use it almost all the way around the place. But, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, the fade killed me. It was terrible. 8, I could have used it. 10, obviously, and 13, I couldn't get to the green because I couldn't hit it. I couldn't get it far enough left. 14 is a massive draw hole. You can't really, you don't realize it on TV, but the whole fairway slopes to the right. And you've got to be able to hook it into that hill, you know, so it can actually hold the fairway. And then you can try to make birdie. You know, and then 17, 18 is kind of a straight, like, you know, baby fade. But for the most part, yeah, you've got to be able to draw it at Augusta. I'm excited to put that in this year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we were down there for the first time ever for any of us this year. And I was amazed standing on the 14th tee. You know, when you're looking up there, and you got to play a pretty significant draw. And then, like you said, I mean, how many balls you watch on TV that land on the right side of the fairway and kick over into the rough, maybe some tree trouble. It's not an easy tee shot.
No, you're dead. Yeah, you're just dead. I mean, Phil, you know, the lefties, not that they, I don't want to say they have an advantage, but, you know, Phil can hit a pretty good fade. And for him, he fades into that hill, and, you know, obviously he can hold the fairway, but it takes some distance off. If you're a right-handed player and you can draw it, you've got such an advantage, and you have such a shorter club in. You know, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking forward to this year. I can't wait to get back there.
I love it. He's eager.
He's
so
pumped.
Let's talk a little bit about Tiger. You were actually, you know, you were sort of vindicated in your comments from last year. You took a ton of heat, which is stupid, and, you know, social media kind of got off that. Everybody overreacts and all that. What you said, you know, you basically said he knows.
You know, the problem is, you know, the problem is they took one thing of what I said and they made that sound like that's all I said. I mean, I had a three-minute piece on what I said about him, you know, which was such horseshit because I didn't attack the guy. I've been on that guy 33 years. I mean, why would it, what benefit would it do to attack me? But, you know, a guy calls in and says, what do you think about Tiger today? And I said, well, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, you're looking at the well, I'm looking at it. I mean, the guy, you know, he's obviously, he played the hero. He finished 15th. You know, then he did what he did, and he withdrew from Dubai and then, you know, L.A. and all these other things. And I said, you know, when do you think you're going to see him? I said, if he doesn't play well, you're not going to see him. But I said, I think that he thinks that he can't beat anybody right now, which if you asked him honestly, and if he gave you an honest answer, he'd say the same thing at that time. At that time, he would tell you, yeah, I can't beat anybody because I'm either hurt or I'm, you know, I'm whatever. But that's what it was. And like you said, you know, the world just came down on me like, you know, how could you dare talk shit about this guy? I said, I wasn't talking shit about him at all. I said, somebody asked me a question. The Golf Channel, who are a bunch of punks, I can't stand them anyway. You know, they took it, and then they made it sound like somebody died. I mean, that Kelly Tomic, she did this report on it. It's like, oh, my God, can you believe what Pat Perez said about the great Tiger Woods, even though I said that he should be lynched and this and that. You know, she gets to keep her job, and nobody, you know, nobody puts her on blast. You know, and if that's somebody else, that guy gets fired immediately, you know. So that, her, no problem.
Yeah, and it's
suspended for a couple of weeks. Everybody lets it go, no problem, huh?
And it's crazy because, I mean, we're the biggest Tiger fanboys going, and we even, you know, we could look at what you were looking at last year at the same point and be like, you know, this isn't a guy that's, like, thinking he can beat people right now. He can barely walk.
No, I mean, the guy can barely walk. And I said, if you know Tiger the way I know Tiger and you've seen him, the guy's 3 months older than I am, you know. I've seen him do everything. He's been beating my ass since we were 8 years old. I've seen it all. And I know when the guy is on and when he's not. And if you look at the things in the past, you know, he played the Bahamas, okay? And then he loves to play Torrey. And then he goes to Dubai. And then, if he doesn't play L.A., if he doesn't play Bay Hill, and the thing he loves more than life itself is Augusta. If he doesn't play then, and this is what I was telling this question that I answered. I said, if he doesn't play then what? And I said, you know, he only plays 7 PGA Tour events a year anyway. So then what? He's not going to play after that. And you're talking about the U.S. Open, okay? Is he going to come back to Erin Hills and play a 7,800-yard course? Probably not. You know, then he's going to go to the British and play Birkdale. I don't even know if he likes that course or not. Then you've got the PGA, which possibly he could come back. But then let's see how this stuff happens, right? And he doesn't play well. Now he's not going to qualify for the FedEx Cup. So then when do you think you're going to see him again? You think he's going to go to Malaysia? No. You know, he's not going to play in those. He'll be getting ready again for his own tournament. That's just the facts. That's exactly what happened to a T. Is exactly what I said almost a year ago now.
Yeah, but all that context.
And the world just blasted like.
All that context, huh? People just want to. You say you shit on him, gets way more clicks. Oh, they don't care about all that context.
It's a click game.
No, exactly. And then some asshole from Golf Digest put out there and said, Perez says Tiger can beat nobody. And that's all they put. So, I mean, that just, and then all of a sudden, you know how social media goes. It just spread through the world. I get this phone call from a guy. Hey, man, what the hell you said about Tiger? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, it's all over social media. You said that, you know, basically Tiger sucks and he can't beat anybody. I go, that's not what I said. That's not even near what I said. I said, you're going to ask my co-host, Michael Collins, what I said. You know, and I called him. I said, bro, do you remember me ripping on Tiger last night? He goes, no, why? He goes, well, I said, check social media and see what the hell is going on. This is going through the roof. And he actually went to bat for me. And, you know, the Golf Channel just slayed me. The bottom line is, you know, I've said 100 times, Tiger's the greatest thing I'm ever going to see with my eyes. He is the greatest. As great as these young kids are today, they aren't Tiger. They have not had their dick handed to them by this guy. They have not seen this guy show up in a red shirt, not talk to anybody, and beat everyone's dick in. I mean, they haven't seen this. You know, they don't cheer. He didn't cheer for anybody. He doesn't wait for anybody to get done. He doesn't go on spring break trips with anybody. I mean, I love the new kids, and they're fantastic. I think golf's in an unbelievable spot right now. We got such good players. They're all coming up together. It's all great. But Tiger was Tiger, and it was so different. And, you know, the guy was so unbelievable to watch. And I've said this a million times. And, you know, for some reason, people think I'm like this Tiger hater that walks around. I couldn't be any less. I told the guy himself, I told him to his face, I said, you know, you're an idol of mine. I said, the fact that we're the same age doesn't matter. The fact that, you know, I said, you're an inspiration to anybody that's ever athlete, any sport, doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's the same thing like Jordan. Same kind of deal. But that whole thing sucked, man, because, you know, the world turned against me, and then, you know, I guess once they started, you know, once it all started coming true, it wasn't like, hey, you know, by the way, this guy was right. Why did we beat him up so bad? It was just nothing. You know what I mean?
Did you hear?
He just kind of forgot about it somehow.
Did you hear from Tiger at all during that point when all that shit was going on?
No, I sent him a text. Hey, man, I said, I don't know what the hell's going on with this world here, but I said, you know, it is what it is. I said, I'm not apologizing, but I said, I didn't talk shit about you. You know, I didn't talk shit about you. Someone called into my radio show, you know, and I said, what do you think about the state of Tiger right now? I said, what do you think the state of it is? I mean, you know, because people call in every week on my show, and they want to know what's he doing. What is he, you know, they think like I've got a direct line to him, like he's going to tell me, you know, what's going on. I said, guys, I don't know. I'm seeing the same thing you are. I said, obviously he's not in good shape. He's obviously hurt, or something's going on, or else he would play. You know, and then you get the detour on the DUI and the dick pics and the whole thing. I mean, God damn, the guy had a, you know, it's just, I want to see the guy come back. I told this to a bunch of guys. I said, I don't want to see things like that ruin him. You know, I want people to remember how great he was and how, you know, his 79 wins and the majors and all these things. I mean, but I want him to go out on his terms. I want him to be able to come back and play as much as he wants and go out on his terms and go away when he wants to. You know, it just sucks. But, you know, it, this day and age, man, it's really hard to give an answer and not have to worry about what if someone's going to put you on blast. And the reason why I usually don't get, you know, what people would consider real answers, everybody calls everybody robots and stuff, is because you can't give a real answer. You can't – the guy that's sitting down at Hooters watching the TV, if he gave an interview, nobody would give two shits what he has to say. Even if it was true, even if it was talking shit or whatever it is, but a guy that's involved in the business, if he says something, he's a hater, you know, he talks shit, he can't say anything because he's not as good as that player, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's really a shame because there's actually a lot of great guys that would give a lot of good, you know, insightful answers, but they just won't do it because they won't take the chance on the fact that they're going to get their dick kicked in because of, you know, giving their honest opinion on something. And it sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah, it's...
So that's kind of why you always get your bland, plain answers, because people are tired of getting worn out. They're just tired of getting worn out. That's the way the media world is now. It's unfortunate. I learned a hard lesson. Somebody asked me that question again, I'm going to say, hey, I don't know what he's doing. Sorry. I don't have an opinion. Sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just not. I learned from my ear because I had to hear it on the course. Some guy's like, hey, man, you're talking shit for it. That guy's got 79 wins. I said, no kidding. I know that. I know everything. I know everything about the guy. Believe me. Quit talking shit about him. I go, guys, you're totally missing the point here. So anyway, bottom line is, you know, I was glad to see him. I was glad to see him come back. You know, he looked great. He looked like he was playing, you know, not like there was no rehearsal swings. There was no, you know, kneeling down because of his back. He looked good again. He looked like he was just doing it, and there was no mention of anything. He said he felt great. You know, I'm glad. I want to see the guy play again. You know, it's amazing how much bigger a week goes on with him in it. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And you're right. It sucks that you give a candid answer and, you know, in today's kind of headline grabby world, you get killed for it. But I mean, you gave a candid answer. You said what you felt and you turned out to be pretty spot on. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Anyways, let's move on a little bit more fun stuff. You kind of touched on something right there, but I want to ask you, what's the craziest thing you've ever heard from somebody in the gallery?
Craziest thing. God, you think I remember too. I'm sure it was some comment, not towards me, but like a yelling comment about something. I can't remember what the hell it was. I can kind of remember. God, some guy said something and I thought it was me. I was laughing so hard. You know, you see guys in these outfits or, you know, a comment or something. I mean, it's just, there's some of these guys, they just get it. I mean, they just get it. And damn, I can't remember though. Man, I've seen and heard so much, I can't really pinpoint one.
What's one rule you would change in golf? If you could change one rule.
One rule I would change. God, a thousand of them.
Really grilling you here.
I don't think you should be penalized for hitting the fairway. If you hit into a divot, I think you should be able to drop it.
I love that answer. One rule has been forever.
I think one rule, you know, Jack has been saying it forever, but it's true. You know, if you hit into a spot and it's got sand in it that was just filled, you know, it's ground under repair. It really is. You know, I always thought the wind thing was stupid. You put your putter down and the ball rolls away. But, I mean, if you didn't touch the ball, then you didn't cause it to move. So how would you get penalized? I think the best one they just did, which I can't fucking believe took as long as it did, was the guy that can call in.
Fuck
and
that guy.
Get you penalized or disqualified. I don't understand how we're the only sport that left that going for so long. I mean, I watched about 20 of the shittiest calls I've ever seen in my life yesterday on football. And what number? This is the question I've always asked with this guy. What number do they call in? I play on the tour, and I don't even know what number to call. What number are these people calling to get people penalized and or disqualified? Like the Lexi thing, that couldn't have been any worse. That was so shitty. It was such a shitty deal.
What kind of asshole do you have to be to call that in?
Well, that's the thing. We don't.
You got to be that guy.
We don't know the number either because we'd be assholes if we knew it. But the guys who do it, they have to look up that number, and even by the time they find the number, they're still like, I'm still going to be a fucking asshole and call this in. That's how big of assholes they are.
Yeah. I just don't understand, and we bitched about it forever. And I always said, you know, why are we letting some guy, you know, because the whole thing about it, and it said, well, you know, that's bullshit. We saw it on TV. We should let it call it. Well, no, you shouldn't. When you're watching football or baseball or, you know, whatever, you're watching the entire sport go on at the same time for 4 hours. With us, I tee off at 7 a.m., another guy tees off at 2:10. The TV only runs for 3 hours, right? So not everybody is on the TV. So if fucking Joe Schmo over here moves his ball and it's not on TV, nobody can call in. But if you are one of the really good players and you're on TV every shot, that's the thing they always said about, you know, oh, Tiger did this, Tiger did this. Well, Tiger, they would watch Tiger take a shit if they could. You know, they would put a toilet cam in there if they could because they love this guy so much. And that's what it was because that moved the needle, right? That's what people want to see. They want to see him do anything on TV. But it's not fair to him that he's on TV all the time and gets all the scrutiny and gets all this bullshit because the other guys, the guy could kick his ball down the fairway. Nobody would ever know because he's never on TV, right? So I could never understand why that rule was never changed, you know, way long ago. And the fact that, you know, somebody could call in and get you penalized. I mean, that is so, I can't even believe that, you know. But thank God that rule changed. But, yeah, I don't like the divot one. I think the divot's pretty bad. And the one that we have, which is one of the worst I've ever seen in my life, if you miss your pro-am time, you can actually get disqualified from the tournament. That happened to Jim Furyk at the Barclays in New York. He missed his pro-am time by 5 minutes and got DQ'd from the tournament.
That's insane. I thought that happened to John Daly, too, at some point, but maybe I made that up.
It happened to JD at Bay Hill.
Oh, that's
right.
He
was the third alternate. The first guy didn't show. The second guy was late or something, and JD wasn't there, and got DQ'd, and the king, like, banned him from the tournament forever. He never got a spot again.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's a harsh rule.
That is.
That'd be like the Warriors having a pickup game with some business guys, you know, the night before the final, the fucking game seven, and Curry shows up, like, 20 minutes late. It doesn't get to play the game. I mean, that's how ludicrous it is. That's how stupid it is.
What is, in your opinion, the greatest or the best shot you've ever hit?
Best shot ever is easy. It was the 90th hole at the Hope. The 6-iron, wind pumping off the right, hit to 3 feet to win the tournament.
Then what's the worst shot you've ever hit?
Too many. I don't even have one.
Too many.
I got way too many. I couldn't even narrow that down to 1,000.
Oh, man.
Everybody hits way more shitty shots than they do good ones, but I'm sure I have. I'd have to think about it, though.
What's your favorite course on tour? What do you, when you show up and you think, all right, this is my track, this is where I like to be, what stands out for you?
Well, funny enough, the two of the ones I've won on, I always thought I could win at CIMB and Mexico, because they're not real long courses, and I love the putting greens. They're like a slower type. I don't know what the hell they call it. I don't know what kind of grass it is, but I love the grass. It's a slower type of green, and it's not real long. But I, you know, and that would be like Riviera. Riviera is one of my favorites. I think it stood the test of time. It is a phenomenal course. You know, obviously everybody loves Augusta and all these other things, but you know, Torrey used to be my favorite until they made it 9,000 yards.
Yeah, people forget you took Tiger down at Torrey in 1993.
Yeah, that's the last time, too.
Kicked his ass.
At least I got him once. at least I got him once.
I love it.
Yeah, I'd say Riv. Probably Riviera. That's my favorite course.
All right, Pat Perez. Well, man, you're coming off an awesome year. Big win just a couple months ago. You'll be back in Maui. We really appreciate you taking the time. We know you're a really candid guy, which, like you mentioned, you don't get all the time out here in golf. So we really appreciate it, man.
You got it. No problem.
All right. Take care. Good luck next year, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's all I got. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard. I hit it hard, man. Hard.